We are slightly behind, but I want to make sure Dr. Papakostas has all the time she needs. So when you are ready, we will take this Marine Recreational Information Program presentation in its full, and I will turn it over to you, Dr. Papakostas.
Okay, can everyone hear me?
Sure can.
Great. All right. Well, thanks y'all for having me back. So for those of you that don't know me, my name is Catherine Papakostas. I'm the Recreational Fishery Statistics Program Management Branch Director in our Fish Stats Division in the NOAA Office of Science and Technology. You can go to the next slide, please. So today I'm going to be providing a progress update on a couple of major recreational fishing data collection initiatives, primarily focusing on the 2024 Fishing Effort Survey follow-up study and our associated next steps, and also our ongoing work to evaluate the recreational fishing data collection partnership to identify and further make improvements, and some other program updates related to the re-envisioning process. So starting with the Fishing Effort Survey, I think you all know what the Fishing Effort Survey is, but just to make sure everyone's on the same page, it is a self-administered mail survey of residential households implemented from Maine to Mississippi and also in Hawaii. It collects trip information for each resident of a responding household for specified time periods, and it's used to estimate shore and private boat fishing effort that is then used to produce catch estimates for MRIP. So as you're all likely aware, we completed a large-scale follow-up study for the FES based on the results of some previous pilot research to gain a clearer understanding of the differences in effort estimates between the current survey design and a revised design that changes both the question order, the fishing activity question order, and also increases the frequency of sampling, so going to sampling monthly instead of every 2 months. And the goal of this work was to inform improvements to response accuracy and also generate flexibility to allow for more frequent production of estimates, which has been expressed as a high priority across the Atlantic and Gulf. So related to what was tested in 2024, specifically, the experimental design overlapped with the standard FES throughout 2024. The key differences included moving from bi-monthly to monthly survey mailings, revising the question order. We also used a split reference period to ask fishing activity questions. So the standard FES asked one two-month question, and the experimental questionnaire separated those out into two individual one-month questions. And then with that split reference period and administering the survey monthly, we have two independent estimates for each reference month that we can then use to composite, which generally helps improve precision and stability, and wanted to test that for use, you know, for the Fishing Effort Survey to improve precision and stability of those wave estimates. So this is just showing you a side-by-side of the standard FES questionnaire and the questionnaire that we used in 2024 for the side-by-side comparison. You'll see that the FES, they both ask about shore and private boat fishing. The standard FES asks about 2 months of fishing activity and then 12 months of fishing activity. The experimental questionnaire, you can see, asks 12 months first, and then divides up that two-month question into those two individual one-month questions. So just to give you an example, this would be sent out, you know, for January, February, and then the next mailing would be asking about February, March. So you'll see we have those two independent samples for February, and that's what we're using to composite, just to make that clear. So the results, I know this says preliminary, I actually should have updated this. So the results are actually now final since we've received the peer reviews back. And I'll come back to the peer review status in a few minutes. But what I'm going to show you here in the next couple of slides are the overview results of the 2024 study, and then the results by wave and by state. So this first slide shows the overview results. So the state by wave estimates for Maine through Mississippi and also in Hawaii. So everywhere the FES was conducted. the experimental, you know, design was conducted alongside the SES. This graph shows the ratio of experimental estimates to the standard FES. And a lot of you, I'm sure, are super familiar with box plots, but for anyone who isn't, I put a little legend here so you can kind of interpret what you're looking at. But essentially, a ratio of less than one means that the experimental estimates are lower than the standard FES. And so you can see with the overall results, the difference is a little bit more pronounced with private boat fishing mode, but the estimates are on average lower for the experimental design than the current FES design. So next slide, please. Going into results by wave, we did see some seasonal difference in the results. So differences between the experimental and the FES estimates were more pronounced during periods of lower fishing activity versus during periods of high fishing activity. And this pattern is consistent with what we observed in the cognitive interviews that we did, both in the early development of the FES and also in cognitive interviewing that we did in the lead up to this study, where fishermen, you know, wanted to be identified as fishermen and actually expressed frustration in the cognitive interviews when we asked about periods where they didn't fish, because they wanted to tell us about when they did fish. And so you think about it, you know, during times of the year when there's not much fishing, and if identifying yourself as an angler is important to you, you'd be more likely to overreport your fishing trips during times where you didn't fish. Whereas in the busy season where you're actually fishing, you can accurately report your trips and still feel like an angler. And this phenomenon is called social desirability bias in the survey literature. This pattern supports our hypothesis that FES respondents are overreporting when they're not fishing. And so presenting the 12-month fishing activity question first, that suggests that it, you know, effectively mitigates that reporting error by providing an opportunity for respondents to identify as anglers without biasing the primary survey measure. So those are the wave level estimates. And then next slide, please. This is just showing the same results, but by state. So you can see there is a bit of variability state to state. Some of this is driven by, you know, importance and prevalence of shore fishing versus private boat fishing. So the change in questionnaire can lead to differences in results depending on state-specific fishing patterns. So, for example, in some states with more private boat fishing, the estimates might change more significantly than states dominated by shore fishing. But overall, the differences are driven by the percent of households that reported fishing during a reference period versus, you know, the number of trips reported per household. It was more the households that were reporting or not reporting fishing activity that drove kind of the big differences in the experimental results and the standard FES results. So to just summarize the findings of the 2024 study, the experimental estimates were lower on average than the standard FES estimates. The differences were more pronounced in private boat and low activity waves. The primary driver of these differences is the revised question order, putting that 12-month question first versus putting the monthly questions or the two-month question first. And that putting that 12-month question first creates a bounding effect that we believe it's helping to mitigate overreporting. And the study also demonstrated the feasibility of monthly sampling and also benefits of composite estimation design. Unfortunately, don't have a slide kind of showing comparing results of composite versus non-composite estimation design, but just to give you an idea, the composite estimation does lead to some precision gains over the standard design, and then also some better stability in the estimates by combining, you know, two independent samples instead of just relying on one for each month. So next slide, please. So given these results, we are moving forward with implementing the revised design this year in 2026. The rationale behind that change is that the revised design increases reporting accuracy. There was relative consistency of findings between the 2023 pilot study and also this study, showing lower estimates on average, the magnitude slightly different, but the general trend being consistent. We also received positive feedback on the revised questionnaire during the cognitive interviews that we did in preparation for the 2024 study. the fishermen that we interviewed reported feeling more confident answering the single month questions instead of the 2 month questions. They found that to be a bit more intuitive and more confident in answering those accurately. Also, in late November, early December, after the shutdown, we received the peer review results for the revised design. That was conducted via a desk review by the Center for Independent Experts this fall. And all reviewers indicated that the revised design offers improved utility compared to the current design for stock assessment and fishery management decisions, specifically noting that the revised design addresses a known source of reporting error in the previous design, which, you know, removing error inherently improves accuracy of effort estimates. So the reviews were favorable, and they were supportive of implementing this revised design. Next slide, please. So additionally, given that there are differences in the revised FES estimates compared to the previous FES estimates, we've been developing a calibration model. We had a peer review of that model via an open panel workshop that we had announced in the Federal Register. I know a number of folks from New England did attend online to listen in, and we had a partner and public comment component of that. Due to the shutdown, we were delayed in receiving the final reports because we shut down kind of right after that workshop occurred. But we did receive those reports in mid-December, the CIE reviewer reports, and they were favorable. The final peer reviewer workshop panel report is near final. Chair is just wrapping up a few final things. Generally, the panel confirmed that the model was state-of-the-art and handles the complexity of the survey data well. The review panel did recommend some fine-tuning of the model, which we're actively working on right now to try to get that done as fast as we can. Regarding the status of monthly estimate production, we are going to maintain our current bi-monthly publication schedule in the near term, and that's just based on our current resourcing levels. But implementing the revised FES design monthly gives us the flexibility to produce monthly estimates in the future. And so we're actively this year going to be analyzing resource requirements to see how we can support that, that shift in the future, given that more timely estimates is a priority of our partners in the Atlantic and Gulf. So where we are, this is just kind of highlighting some of the milestones of this, the past 6 months or so. So the FES 2024 study report, the calibration methodology, their associated peer review reports, the transition plan were all finalized last month. The calibration workshop report from the fall is near final, will be ready very, very soon. And then all of these materials are going to be undergoing the final stages of internal review by the NOAA policy team prior to release. So we want to release them as soon as possible for everyone to see. It's just kind of going through that final internal step before we do so. Regarding the timeline for the calibrated time series, the fall government shutdown did necessitate a shift in our schedule. We've been targeting spring 2026 for a number of years now, as I think you all know. And so that's going to be delayed. I've been working with the policy team, the NOAA policy team, on a comprehensive status update for all of our partners to provide some more clarity on the modified 2026 timeline. And I'm hoping to be cleared to distribute that to everyone very soon. But we recognize how important this is for all of our data users and are working as fast as we can to kind of catch up and make up for lost time from the shutdown. So that's the FES. I just have a couple more slides, and then I'll be happy to take any questions. So next slide, please. In late 2023, early 2024, our previous NOAA Fisheries Assistant Administrator had directed MRIP to collaboratively begin reevaluating the long-term partnership vision for recreational fishing data collection. And essentially that move was in recognition that while the current data collection system has its strengths, including using consistent methodologies, tracking long-term trends, maintaining consistent time series for many state and federally managed species, it also has a lot of challenges that are, some are universal and some vary region by region. And we felt the best way to address them all is through increased transparency and collaboration. And so we've put a lot of work into this effort last year, which culminated into a framework report that is in the final stages of review by the NOAA policy team. It reflects extensive input we've received from the councils, commissions, states, and the fishing community. So just to give you an idea of what we've done to kind of inform this and our future direction, we had really wanted to listen to our partners in the fishing community and put a lot of effort into that. And then once we had a draft report, which was last spring, and last time I came to this meeting, we had a listening session here and had a pretty robust discussion about improvements. And then we sent out that draft report to everyone, received hundreds of follow-up comments from partners. And so we incorporated all of those, and all of that's reflected in the final framework report. Next slide, please. So when we release the final framework report, you'll see in asking partners for their input on priorities, we were able to create these kind of tiered, you know, level priorities, both nationally and then region by region. So nationally, the top priorities were improving catch and effort data, improving biological data, figuring out how to leverage non-probability data, so app-based data and new technologies, ensuring consistent standards and warehousing, and then developing adaptive management frameworks. So I'll note that that last one about management frameworks is entirely outside the scope of rec data collection itself. But given the partnership highlighted that time and time again, you know, it just really underscores that management approaches and data have to improve hand in hand. And that's going to be just a highly interdisciplinary, collaborative approach that's going to be needed to accomplish that priority. Specific to New England, a lot of those priorities mirrored the national priorities, although there was some variation. So New England, you know, as you all know, higher resolution spatial data is a high priority in supporting a number of stock assessments in the region. And then also expanding some sampling into wave one in January, February, which we haven't been able to do for resourcing, but that, you know, being a priority to try to expand the general sampling and then also our large pelagic sampling. Also improving trust and credibility and engagement with both partners and the fishing community also was kind of elevated into the top five priorities in New England, which differs a little from the national priorities. So just kind of show national versus the New England specific priorities. So where we are now and where we're going from here, the original vision for 2025 and 2026 included launching regional work groups, shared leadership between NOAA and partners, holding a series of in-person regional workshops, and all planning to kind of roll out this fully updated partnership model in 2026. There's been a lot of changes in our operating conditions this year, so we had to pivot focus to making targeted national and regional improvements rather than having, you know, the full-blown workshop series. I mean, our goal remains unchanged, wanting to build a more responsive, collaborative data collection system that identifies regional priorities and leverages partner expertise. But our current immediate next steps are announcing and publishing that framework report in full. And we've already begun working with partners on implementing some targeted improvements, which I'll talk about on the next couple of slides. So just a few program updates. You can go to the next slide, please. We have, as you many of you may know, we've established National Marine Fisheries Service Recreational Fishing Survey and Data Standards back in 2020. And the intent of those standards was to promote consistency and quality and transparency in the surveys across the partnership nationally. The standards are organized around a number of key elements from survey design to data access to peer review and to continuous improvement. We had these in line with the re-envisioning priority of having shared standards and enhanced standards. We had the National Academies complete a review of our standards and specifically evaluating their effectiveness for key data uses. That process went on throughout 2025. A lot of state partners and commission partners and council staff from different regions presented to the National Academies, and they actually just published their report yesterday with recommendations for improvement of our national surveying data standards. In that report, we're currently, you know, evaluating it, but they're all really exciting recommendations to add value to our current standards. They have some stuff in there, some potential guidance related to AI, modeling approaches, integrating non-probability data. Obviously, that's relevant to New England's priorities as well. So we're excited. This just happened yesterday, so we're excited to kind of dive into those and craft next steps with our partners on enhancing those standards. And then finally, one other thing that we've been working on over the past couple of years and refining. In alignment with our, you know, number one priority nationally to improve the quality of the data, we've strengthened our regional estimate review processes. So we worked really hard with the Atlantic Coastal Cooperative Statistics Program and all the Atlantic states to launch some more robust procedures, formal procedures for reviewing catch and effort estimates. The approach leverages the state partner expertise to help identify inconsistencies in the data and identify, you know, errors in the raw data to get that to us and all kinds of things that they provide to this process. And thus far, it's gone well. It's been a lot of work all around with the partners and our team, but partners have responded positively. They've noted a greater sense of ownership in data review. So that's been a positive, you know, new kind of partnership approach that we hadn't used in the past. A next step for that is trying to come up with a tool that is it's in development, an online data review tracking tool. The long-term vision would be to have, if you go to our query tool and you see an estimate, you would also be able to drill down and look at what was, you know, result of estimate review. That's kind of a long-term vision. We're still kind of working it out, and it'll be a ways before that's done. But we do hope to have at least a prototype this year to work with our partners on to at least facilitate their review. And then ultimately, we hope to have kind of a public-facing tool. So that's just, you know, one other thing that we've been working on in alignment with the re-envisioning, trying to, you know, make improvements, immediate improvements that we can make right now. So that's everything I have. So thanks for your attention. If there's time, I'm happy to take any questions you might have.
Thank you, Dr. Papakostas. That was a very interesting presentation. I would like to open it up for questions, and I want to make sure we focus on the presentation that's been put before us. If there's any questions related to Wave 5, Gulf of Maine stock data, the recent drop, and related to our groundfish, we can hold that off till after lunch. So I will turn to Ms. Griffin first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Dr. Papakostas. This is a great presentation. I wanted to focus on the fishery effort survey improvements, and it's great to see, you know, there's some pretty consequential findings I take away, especially for the recreational fisheries that we manage up here, that pretty consequential finding in that private effort looks to be overestimated, especially in those shoulder seasons, which I won't mention wave five. But I know you reflected on the importance of timely implementation. I just really want to stress that for us here in New England, you know, this is now going to be not just decisions about how much access, you know, that any decisions, any rescaling might allow for more, but we're at the point where we're discussing potential year-round closures, which we will come up with next. So I don't know, Mr. Chair, if you want me to hold my question, because it's really probably more for GARFO about, I understand that the kind of quantitative recalibration is still TBD, but what might GARFO consider qualitatively as they undergo their public process for groundfish rulemaking? So maybe I need to hold that for our next discussion.
Thank you, Melanie. I would say let's hold off on that for now. That is a little more specific to this afternoon's discussion point. So if you have anything else?
No. That's
okay. Thank you. Mr. Pierdnak.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Doctor, for your presentation. And I'll just agree with Melanie, addressed a few things. Slide 13 has a timeline on it. And I think the big drum roll with all of us is what does this mean for our council managed stocks and what percentages will be changed, whether there's an ACL or whether there's not. So with the timeline there on slide 13, you're going to have your revised design calibration model and a review date, and will the council be provided the ability to review that as well as the public prior to coming out with the final numbers to address the changes? My first question.
So prior to the final numbers, the final calibrated time series numbers being released, the calibration methodology, the final FBS study report with all the detailed results from the 2024 study, all of that will be made available. I think that and then once we have calibrated data, I think the plan will be to then make the council rounds and show the some key species of interest in different regions to kind of highlight the final results. Does that answer your question, or were you asking something else?
And does it back calculate previous years of what that adjustment would reflect, especially for those species where we have sub ACLs and those that we don't, and which are allocation or quota is very low commercially and recreationally.
Yeah. So the calibration, we're going to be recalibrating the full time series as if this revised FBS design had been implemented back in time. So we'll have the whole time series updated.
Well, thank you. And I'm just trying to once again get a sense, because you have effort and you have mortality, and they're two different things. So just a simple example, if the effort and mortality are about the same, and let's say you have an ACL of 100 tons, and 95% of the effort's attributed to one mode, and 5% is attributed to the other. And if the 95% of the one mode, the effort and the mortality is the same, is that going to be a straight, say it's 20%, is that just going to be 20% removed from the 95%, or this is where we get into your calibration model that may be different? Just curious if it's that straightforward or more complex.
It'll be a little bit more complex because this is just effort and then the model is applied to effort, and then we're then using that to produce catch estimates, combining that with the catch rate information. And the catch rate information from APIS, that part's not changing. So it'll be a little bit more complicated than just a change in the change in effort. Will like a 20% reduction would be a 20% reduction across the board for everything. It'll also depend too. I mean, the biggest changes that will be seen, what we do know now is that the biggest changes will be in those shoulder months and in private boat fishing mode. We'll see the biggest impacts of this change. But I'll also note that the impacts of this change, I know that we all went through a change back in 2018. And this is a smaller scale change than the shift from the CHTS the Coastal Household Telephone Survey to the previous phishing effort survey. That was a much larger change than this one will be. It'll be a little bit, it'll still be a change, but it'll be more subtle than the last one that we had.
Thank you. One last question. The council submitted a letter to the ACCSP dated October 17, 2024. Recommending that recreational dockside intercepts be changed to include the general location for a fishing trip. These intercepts are presently recorded location and interview, but not the location of fish were caught or released. I know that there's been multiple meetings since that date. Is there any update on the status of addressing that concern? It's in a letter that we have multiple bullets in that letter providing the rationale, but any update?
Yeah. So no, that's a great question. There is an update. The state, so ACCSP has been facilitating that and trying to get the states to agree on a suite of changes. And so what they've settled on is testing out those changes, having this year be a pilot testing of some new question formulation. And then our hope is then we can incorporate whatever it is that they agree on into next year's sampling for APHIS. So I know that I know that you submitted that a while ago, and that we're kind of waiting for the partnership to agree on it on a change, and that's taken some time. But I think we're getting closer to that. And I know ACCSP has been trying to corral the states to consensus on exactly what to change, so that there can be consistency, at least at the regional levels.
Thank you very much. That's good to hear. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pinnock. And last up is Ms. Ware.
Thank you. My question's on the 2026 calibrations. Should we expect all of those to come out at once for all species, or has there been any conversation about more of a staggered approach to prioritize species that have stock assessments in 2027?
Yeah, so the calibration is going to be, everything's going to be released at once. Because the effort piece is the part that's being calibrated, and that's then applied to all species. So we can't do a species prioritized approach since it's a non-species specific component of our estimates. That is the thing that's being calibrated, if that makes sense.
But we plan
to release it all at once. I'm hoping to be able to get you all a more definitive timeline other than it's delayed, very soon. So, I'll be sending out an email blast hopefully within the next couple of weeks with a more detailed update than that.
Sounds good. That makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Papakostas. That was very interesting. We do look forward to some of the follow-ups that you have here. I just want to point out we have groundfish come up at one. It seems like it's kind of going to be a very big thing to discuss. So I just have a little understanding before we break here for lunch. We are looking for an action required based on the fishing year 2025 Wave 5 MRIP data that just became available after the RAP and the Groundfish Committee meeting. The Groundfish Committee meeting's recommendation for the recreational measures do not meet the criteria for remaining below both cod and haddock sub-ACLs. So the council will need to be developing a different set of measures to recommend to GARFO. We'll discuss this a little more under the Groundfish Committee report after lunch, but that's why I want to make sure people are back here by 1 o'clock. I also want to point out, I guess there's been questions about Zoom etiquette here. If people want to make comments or ask questions, please raise your hand. That way the staff here can unmute you. It seems like this might be a slightly different version than people are used to. So I just want to make sure people understand we can't unmute you unless you raise your hand first. So just want to point that out. Once again, we need to be back here strictly by 1 o'clock. So that gives you 51 minutes for lunch. A little shorter than expected, but you're all sitting at home anyway. So have fun. So we will be back at 1 o'clock. Thank you.